topics or puzzles, or you want me to tell Paul about something that you've seen space-related, the email address to reach me is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. Link page has a lot of interesting links and some YouTubes that I think you'll find informative. That's available at roy.ac2gs.com. And remind people, as always, that Mike, AC2NJI, has a great archive site of technical nets that go all the way back to September of 2006. And that's his website, amateurradio.tv. And anyone interested in listening in to W2VL's audio output and don't have a radio nearby, I try to stream it 24/7. You just hook it up to your browser and type in technet.acgs.com, and that'll give you the W2VL repeater. So once again, I want to thank everyone and want to remind you all of some wise advice from one of the wiser men that I've known, Dick, K2RIW. He very often end his technical net with some variation of be kind to each other. And that is always good advice, but especially now in the time of COVID-19, it's especially wise. Please be safe. You know, don't be frightened, but be safe. Be intelligent. Protect yourself. Vaccines are coming. Boosters are coming. And so we'll get to the other end of the tunnel. So be safe. Be well. And come back and participate next Sunday night. This is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra, and I will be clear.
Yes. Did you, by chance, get my email and share that tonight, KD2OGB?
Craig, I got your email, but I thought that since there was no sign that you were anywhere around, it would have gone on deaf ears. So either I'll answer it via email if you want, or if you want to come in you know, next Sunday night, if you're available, we could do it that way.
Yeah, I think next Sunday is going to be a better option. I mean, if you want to give me another answer through the email now, you can. Plus, I'm on vacation, so yeah, that'll work out just fine for next Sunday. But yeah, I'm still having issues with answers in terms of grounding because AMZ gave me a bit of a hard time in terms of how it really should be done. But I had a conversation with somebody for about 40 minutes on the phone, and when I was going to go out to the museum this Saturday, we were going to look at the setup, and we were definitely going to make it work. But I'm not letting this fail me. Failure is not an option.
Okay, I mean, like I said, if you want, I can email you my ideas. But, you know, if you're able to make it next Sunday, that way it'll be open up to people like Ed, WB2EAV, and maybe Andy, and, you know, we'll get a bunch of minds together on this.
Okay, that's fine. I'll get my shout for next Sunday night. But if you want to give me another answer now, you can, if you still have the email open. So, I mean, I'm free for the rest of the night, so feel free to reply away. I'm waiting right now.
Okay, Craig, and I hear someone in the distance. Perhaps it's Ed. I'm not sure. It's about 95% noise, so I guess wiggle your antenna a little bit, and maybe we can get a more readable signal. Yes, it's a little bit better. Now you're only about 65, 70% noise, but I could recognize you, Ed.
I want to know what you were referring to.
No, Craig emailed me a question, but he wasn't going to be around to hear the answer, so I was telling him he popped up on Echolink about 10 minutes ago. So I told him if he shows up next Sunday for the technical net, not only could he have my sparkling advice, but perhaps he will have benefit of yours and Andy and other people who share their knowledge with us. Well, chiefly, Craig is interested in grounding sufficiently his brand new shiny 705, right, Craig?
Long story short, ICOM 705. The mount that I'm using is a Diamond K400, and it's penetrating through the paint into the metal, but I still need to find something else as a counterpoise, according to another person. But is grounding the radio itself to a bolt of the car seat, if that leads into the chassis, good enough? Or can it be done another way?
Well, I'll let Ed answer in a second. As I emailed you last week on this subject, the easiest way to be able to tell is get a simple voltometer and see if there's an electrical connection between major pieces of your car's chassis and the bolt that you're interested in using. It isn't necessarily all bonded together. If you pull out a little inexpensive voltometer, you find that there's a very low resistance, then yes, you could use that bolt for your ground. If you look at it and it has a very high resistance, then they're not bonded together, and you can either find another site or you could look into bonding the two pieces of metal together. But Ed, do you have any comments about that? Okay, Ed, I think your battery is gone because you just fell completely out of the repeater. Okay, I don't know if you got that, Craig. He really wants to know what type of a mount it is because he doesn't know what mount a particular model is. So I'm assuming it's not a magnetic connection. I assume it's one of those where you punch a hole through the metal and you put it together. You might want to scrape the paint off of it where it won't show so that you have a nice electrical connection, and you also might want to check to see how far that electrical connection goes with the rest of the metal in your car to get a better feel for what it's doing. But that's the question that Ed wants you to tell him. What kind of connector specifically is the antenna?
It's a stud mount on a Diamond K400, and apparently there's two wires going through it. And that's what my friend assumed, how it's already grounded. But at the same time, it's hooked up to the back, and those piercing screws are what bonds it as the counterpoise, but you still need to ground the radio itself. And that's what I'm missing. And yes, my friend told me that we would use the voltometer to see what resistances and if we can get it to work. And remember, I'm doing this with the car off, and 5 to 10 watts is really not going to do anything. KD2OGD. Roy, can you relay that? I couldn't copy that well.
Yeah, Ed's kind of falling farther into the noise. I think he was talking about the bottom of the trunk, although I that's the only words I could pull out of that, unfortunately. So I don't know what to tell you, Ed. I think the battery is gone on that thing. If there's any way you can kind of boost the juice, this would be a perfect opportunity.
Does this help, Roy?
A little bit. You're back up to about 15-20% voice and the rest noise.
Alright, I have an idea. Give me one minute.
A little bit better. It's still a bit noisy.
You realize I'm using a Ringo Ranger of 12 feet right now.
Okay, I can hear pretty much every word that you're saying. It's still 50% noise, but I can hear the words now.
Alright, my question is this antenna a drunk lift mount where you have two bed screws?
I don't think it's a trunk lift mount because the way he's describing it, he's punching a hole into the sheet metal of the car. I mean, if I don't understand it correctly, Craig, please correct me.
Yes, the trunk mount is what I'm using. My friend told me that because it's penetrating through the paint, but also because of an additional wire that he sees on it and the way it's set up, that's what's my counterpoise for ground, but I still need to ground the radio itself. I mean, as long as I get good resistance through that bolt, then I'm good. I just want to make sure also that the antenna is set up the way it should be. I mean, I could even show you a picture of it when I get back to Babylon tonight if you want, but you're probably not going to be awake for it. And plus, even if you wanted to share my email on the TechNet, I would have backtracked later when it gets up to get answers that way, but I'm still willing to chime into the next TechNet to get answers that way. But again, just trying to hear what everybody right now has to say.
I have an answer.
Please give us the answer, Ed.
If you have bed screws that are cutting through the paint into the metal of the car body, you are golden. You don't have to mess around with counterpoise when you have a couple of thousand pounds of steel.
Okay, so you're telling me I'm probably going to be wrong on this, so correct me. So you're telling me those screws that I have, what about them?
The beauty of a trunk lift mount is the set screws that you clamp it to the trunk lift, cut through the paint, and give you a good solid ground to the trunk lift, which is better than any counterpoise. It is a superlative ground at VHF.
Okay, Ed, that is exactly what I am looking for. But remember, this is for HF. Another thing that I might also have messed up on, but regardless, it's still holding on fine. That metal piece, I guess, that's meant to protect the car body, but the problem is I had a problem getting it to slip in thoroughly, so I just attached the mount without it. Is that also necessary, or not really?
Well, the problem at HF is you can't drag 50 feet of counterpoise behind the car. You're stuck with what you have. And you already have the frame of the car as the ground. That's the best you're going to do.
Okay, so you're telling me the mount that I currently have attached to that back, piercing through into the sheet metal, is one of the two grounds already. All I just need is to ground the radio itself to something. Is that correct? Thank you. terminal?
Yeah, the battery negative terminal is fine. Or the ground, you can find the bulkhead. But obviously you have to connect the 12-volt return to ground or the battery negative somewhere. That plus the antenna is all you need for grounding.
TechNet would not be necessary considering I've got the right answer from you and from Don into QHV. And also, this radio, I'm going to use its own battery for power. And so, yeah, I just want to use the ICOM 705 on its own battery. I don't want to hook it up to the car's battery. And plus, I want to do it with the car off, because 5 isn't really going to do anything. One other thing that I also want to do, which I'm sure has a negative side effect, was I have an external battery, preferably one of those CyberPower power my computer with. It's not a power, though. It's mainly a base full of outlets with a battery in it. What I want to do is plug the radio into that for external power to try to get the full 10 watts. Is that doable or no?
If you're running off of the battery and the radio, the antenna ground is all you need. Now, how are you getting 13.6 volts out of this battery? You're talking about outlets. You're talking about AC outlets. You need a 12-volt power supply.
Well, I'm using the radio's own battery for power, but let's say, for example, I wanted to get the full 10 wattage, but I don't want to hook it up to the car's battery. I want to hook it up to another battery, like a portable battery, like, for example, and then try to use that. But, yes. Also, I actually put it in the car without the microphone, and I tuned it for 20 meters, and I kept tuning the band until I got on the right frequency, and I was able to hear everything just fine with only the antenna. And this is no ground attached to that port on the radio. So you're telling me the antenna port is all I need for grounding.
If you have a floating power supply, you're fine. The only thing I'm serious about is you don't want to somehow find your short circuit the battery by connecting multiple things. But yeah, it's not that complicated. You only need good ground for the antenna to work again. The rest of it can definitely float. Oh, one more thing. You find that radios are much more forgiving of terrible visual on receive than they are on transmit. So you could have an absolutely terrible transmitting antenna and still receive halfway decently with it.
Okay, so we've reached the verdict. So the antenna ground is all I need, and grounding the radio itself is not necessary if I'm using the radio's own battery itself. Because again, I received everything perfectly while looking for the exact right frequency on 20 meters.
Yeah, it sounds like you're good to go.
I will take your word for it, Ed, and I will have Don look this over, and we will test this next Saturday, and then I will come on the TechNet the next day and tell everybody what the result is, whether it worked or whether it did not work. And I am just hoping that when I do this, I do not see anything on that dashboard light up that I don't want to see. And with that being said, this has concluded. This is KD2OGD. Roy, you want to finish it up? Because at this point, I pretty much have everything I need. Still, I am going to ask the question for everybody on the next SACNAT.
Okay, very good, Craig. I already kind of called the end of the TechNet back at 11:05 or 11:10. Thank you, Ed, a lot, and good luck, Craig. Keep in mind what Ed mentioned, that even though you can hear lots and lots of signal, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have anything close to a one-to-one VSWR. And so when you transmit, take a look and see what the watt meter SWR portion is telling you. You might need to get yourself one of those lovely little small antenna tuners that ICOM is making for the IC705.
Okay, I will certainly do that. So here's how it's going to roll. If everything works out perfectly for Saturday, I will not ask the question. If it doesn't work out, then I'm going to ask, what am I missing and what do I do to correct it? But you still want to answer my question on, you still want to give me another answer on email as per what Ed said? You are more than welcome to do so. I am on AOL right now as we speak. So I will hear from you in a few minutes, and I will be clear for the night. 82OGC, out of the group.
As I said, Craig, basically Ed gave you the advice that I would. If you were truly, utterly, and completely interested in physically grounding your radio in addition, it still goes that you use both ohmmeter to figure out if things are bonded together. But if you have a good ground on your antenna and the antenna lead goes into your chassis of your radio, you're pretty much grounded as long as you watch out for the battery in your car. And you're going via the battery that's built in, so that's not a problem. I'm just giving you the little warning that it is theoretically possible that the antenna might not be perfectly resonant, and so it'll hit a impedance mismatch, and the RF will bounce off of your antenna and go back into your radio and nearby electronic equipment, and it might upset the electronic equipment. So it might not be an indication that the grounding is at all problematic. It may be simply that you're selecting a bit too much RF due to an impedance mismatch for an untuned antenna.
These tests with the car off and not on.
Okay, but I would just generally assume if the car is off, you're not going to get any indicator lights, even if things are a little bit wonky.
Well, it's a 50-50 chance. I mean, the only light I just don't want to see pop up is the check engine light.
Would the check engine light light up when you had the car turned off?
The check engine light comes on in accessory mode, and then it should shut off once you start the car. That just means the bulb is working. There was a time when my car battery would not start because there was not enough voltage, and it was about 4 years old. This was when I tapped into the TechNet for the first time with the help of N2EO, and Dick gave me the advice on what could have caused it, but then I ran into this problem. When I had the battery replaced and I had the thing in accessory, the check engine light was on, but then it started flashing, and then as soon as I start the car, it goes out.
Okay, I'm still not quite sure how the check engine would light up if everything was shut down and you were just operating a radio nearby. I don't know how the electronics, you know, RF can do amazing things, and these days nothing is totally off, but okay. Anyway, Craig, I wish you good luck, and if you want to report back on it and discuss it more next Sunday, you're always welcome. And once again, thank you, Ed, for helping.
Just at least reply to my email with a recap of Ed's answers, just so I have it visually so I don't forget. Thank you. KD2OGB.
Okay, will do, Craig. This is AC2GS, and once again, I am clear.
Craig on the air, Craig.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
No light.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
N2NWS, N2RBP.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
W3RTV. Anybody on the road? Nothing heard. W3RTV.
KQNDA listening from Boston. Good morning.
KQKND.
Good morning. I think I got KND. I didn't get the prefix. But this is QH1, Delta Yankee Alpha, Kevin, in the Boston area. Walpole, to be precise, about 10 miles southwest of Boston. That's a wonderful weather report. We've got very, very light snow here at the moment. How are things in Long Island? Go ahead.
Hi, very good. Well, name is Mickey, and of course, K2KND, Kilo, November, Bravo. We're in about 5 inches now. And more to come, the heavier bands are doing a little later this afternoon. And yeah, the weather forecast showed that that you might be actually less than we are. I think it's hugging the coast a little bit more. And probably by the time it gets up to New England, it maybe goes out to sea a little bit. But they're still talking that we could have possibly 15 to 20 inches here, if anyone this later snowstorm.
That's okay. 15 to 20 inches, that's a considerable amount of snow. I'm not sure what's going to happen here. You never know until afterwards, that's for sure. Okay, very good. And are you on Long Island now? And if so, where are you in relation to Port Jefferson? We have some friends in Port Jefferson who will soon become family. We got a wedding coming up. And just kind of curious where you are in relation to Port Jefferson. Go ahead.
I'm in Old Bethpage, which is right on the Nassau-Suffolk County borderline. I actually am the last. Just trying to think. Yeah, we're actually the last town. You know, Mid Island, not Mid Island, but that's we're just south of Plainview. We're part of the Plainview School District. But yeah, just on the Nassau-Suffolk borderline. So I think we're 30 miles from Port Jeff, something like that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I'm familiar with where that is. All right, very good. Your signal improved considerably, and are you mobile? Go ahead.
No, fix station. Maybe we're knocking some snow or ice off the antenna, I'm not sure. Also, I tend to speak softly sometimes, and that can have an effect. But no, nothing else changed.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm going to sign. My name is Kevin, Kilo Echo Victor, ID November, Kevin. I don't know if I told you, but if I could have your name and your entire call sign, I'd appreciate that. And I know if K and D, I think it is, but I don't have the prefix yet. So very good. Stay safe. Hope you don't get hit too bad with the storm. Stay healthy. I'll say 7-3 for now, and this is KC1DYA, Delta Yankee Alpha. I'll listen on your final.
Hi, very good, Kevin. Nice to have you come in this morning. And, we'll take it easy. I think if there's like a break, maybe around 12 or 1, I may go out with the snowblower and do one pass. But they do expect the heaviest snow. And as I said, all the weather reports seem to say that you might not get hit as hard as we're going to get hit. So, you stay safe up there, too, and good talking to you. I think it's KC1DYA. This is K2KND. Kilo, November, Bravo. 737.
Okay, K2KND. Got it. Yeah, it is. Kilo, Charlie 1, Delta Yankee Alpha. Drop your anchor. Very good. Thanks for the QSO, and hopefully we'll talk again. KC1DYA, clear.
K2KMB, KD2IKF. Rich, still there?
Yes, Sam, just hold on a second. KC1SAM, K2KMB, how are you, Sam?
No, Rich, it's John, KD2IKF.
Oh, that's funny, I thought... All right, that's not even close. All right, how are you, John?
I'm good, that's good. Yeah, I heard you talking. I assume you had the link open, the IRL team, you spoke to somebody upstate?
You know, I couldn't see if he was coming in through IRLP or Echolink, but he was coming in from Massachusetts. In the car, yeah, hard to tell you. I couldn't tell from the link. You have to look at the records. But yeah, the link is working, both Echolink and IRLP out of Selden.
Slick, you knew I was listening, Rich. KC1SAM.
See, I knew I wasn't going crazy. John, anyway.
Ah, see, Sam, you never know who's listening. Let's see. Andy, CBL, are you out there? Let's see if he comes back. Well, I guess not. Well, we can sit here and call out names all day long and see who's listening, see if they come back. But other than that, Richie, I think 1 o'clock might be a bad time to go out there with the snowblower. I think they're talking about between 1 and 3 being the heaviest time of the snow and the wind.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. One of the weather maps I look at usually gives you an idea of when to expect. But, yeah, no, I'll keep an eye out on it. So what you're saying is maybe after 3 o'clock is a good time to do the first pass?
My philosophy is, you know, I've got a big snowblower, so I wait till the last flake falls. It's kind of like raking leaves. I don't rake the leaves until the last leaf falls. So I don't go out with the snowblower until it stops snowing. Unless my neighbors are out there, well, then we go out there and we all huddle on the corner of the street. But I haven't used the camera on top of the tower in a long time, and I actually logged in, and I got a great picture. I'll send you a picture of the corner of Commons Road in Pompano. from the camera on top of the tower. It looks pretty good.
KQKMBI, that's pretty cool, John. Maybe you get into one of those camcorder things on Channel 12, News Channel 12. Sam, how are you doing? What's the snow like up in Connecticut right now?
JC1SAM, yeah, how are you doing, Rich? How are you doing? Yeah, that's, Kevin, he rides down, he's probably mobile, he passes through this way often. I forget where he goes down there. Not bad, we got not much right now, maybe 2.5-3 inches. You guys are definitely going to get more this time. So, but I got 2.5-3, they threaten 12, or whatever, you know. They always exaggerate, but I don't know this time. We just put up with it, you know. But I'm doing pretty good, just sitting inside and looking out at the tiny snowflakes coming down.
Yeah, we're getting windy, you know, snow blown by the wind as well as the snow dropping by itself. I would say we're probably at 6-7 inches already. At least that's what it seems. Yeah, and John, one of the weather reports said Massapequa was actually getting hit pretty hard this morning.
Yeah, I would say we have at least 6 to maybe 7 inches out there already.
Yeah, it's funny. I was saying, you know, I know it's kind of crazy, but because of the way weather is, it's in those cells. And you guys, you know, being a little further south, you may actually get a heavier, moister snow. Because when I was out at 7 with Daisy to take the dog out, the snow was pretty light, and I was thinking that I might even be able to take the blower and just blow some of the snow off the steps, save me the trouble of shoveling it, but I have the feeling it's getting a little heavier now, too, so might not be able to do that. Sam?
Hey, Casey, how are you doing, John, by the way? Not much to add. He said windy. There's no wind up here at all. It's dead calm. They did talk about wind on the weather last night, but I haven't seen any wind. It hasn't blown up here yet, I guess. So 6 or 7 inches. Wow, it is accumulating pretty fast there. And it's going to snow for a long time. So, yeah, better. You know, it's better to snow blow it a couple of times than wait till it gets huge. So, in case it gets too huge. So, anyway, not much more to say. I haven't been out. I got to go out and saw my driveway to get the paper. But if it's even delivered today, we'll see. If it's not, I kind of understand. So, anyway, Rich, back to you. I'm just sitting here reading the mail.
All right, Sam, very good. Yeah, I don't see my newspaper, and it may have gotten buried under the snow, so that's a little bit of concern as I go out with the snowblower, whether it'll screw up the auger. But I may go out and see if I can dig it out even before I go out and blow it. I don't know. It's a pain in the neck. It's probably buried underneath everything right now. John?
Thanks, Rich. Yeah, morning, Sam. All right. Well, it's almost reaching switching time. I have 6 calls set up for today, and of course I have to call them, and obviously one of them most likely will give me a hard time.
What do you mean you're not coming today? I took today off. I took a day off from work for you to come.
So let me call my customers and tell them I'm not coming. They're not going to be happy. I probably won't be able to get out back to them until a week and a half, if that's how booked up I am. So I'll be back on later. All right, you guys enjoy. Stay warm, stay safe. And Richie, I sent you the picture. So, hopefully you've gotten it by now. Look at your email. 82AKX. We'll be standing by. Sam?
Yeah, Casey, when I see you, you come back here when you want to hear friendly voices. You go on the phone when you want to hear the angry voices. So good luck. And there's going to be someone that took a day off just for this, just for whatever. But, you know, you got to decide that when you're talking to them. Maybe you'd be lucky to be right around the corner. So, all right, I'm going to sit back, relax, and Get us to know if you can down my drive. Actually, I should drive now. But, you know, I used to toss mine, but I put one of those milk crates. Rich, I attach it to the side of my postal mailbox. And they throw it in. Try not to be good for little packages, too. But they'll throw the paper in there, so I don't know where it'll be, if it's delivered at all. Lots of times, you won't get it. You get two papers the next day. Whatever. So, anyway, over to you there, Rich.
Yeah, my friend actually, when he, the same deliverer and John, I'll catch you later, but I didn't get John. I just took a look, John, and I didn't come to email or anything. So the same delivery does the Times and Newsday, and when he went out this morning, there was no Newsday. So then I was talking to him a little while ago. He said, "Oh yeah, I see that the paper just came." So he figured it was Newsday. He went back out. He called me. He said, "No, they sent gave me another copy of the Times." So that's pretty weird. All right. Anyway, I'm going to go on the side. Also catch up on a couple of emails. We're here. We're listening. We're not going anywhere. So catch you later. KTKND.
Casey, when I see him.
Yeah.
Today, one for tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I get the Times. So, we'll see. I think the same guy delivers my neighbor's Connecticut paper. So, we'll see. It's, 99% of the time you get it. You do it in just a couple of days now and then. Anyway, by the way, I just wanted to compliment the nice data repeater working sounding pretty good. I know the guy's been working on it, so, at least you'll hear positive comments. It's good to hear it working. So 73 for now.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Thinking of you guys from full-size portable KV2NQA.